This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, December 11th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, by podcast, or on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Do you have every possible layer of clothing you could wear later today or tomorrow handy? You're gonna need it. Wind chills in the teens to 20s below zero are expected by this time tomorrow. Temperatures are gonna drop like a rock this afternoon as a strong cold front moves through. Strong northwest winds will follow up some of this light snow, and it is just going to get super cold. So please consider yourself warned and get everything you need for yourself and for the kids, the pets, everything else to be properly protected if going outside. The temperatures right now, about as warm as they're going to be all day. It's 20 here in Chippewa Falls, 16 in Hayward, 20 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 23, Amory 17. It's 20 in Rapids, 26 in Green Bay, Madison at 25, Waukesha 25. And it's 28 degrees at Radio Park in Racine, where we'll talk to Greg Bach in just a sec. Coming up on the program this morning is our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. This one's going to be a little rougher. We're going to be talking about the comment sections of stories that talk about a changing climate and all the misinformation there. But what's even worse is the disinformation coming from official sources. One of them could be the next energy secretary, a fracking CEO who says he thinks climate change could be a good thing for the planet. Has no evidence to back that up, of course, but you know, we're in the era now where you can say anything and some folks are going to believe it. We'll get to some good news as well, because while we're definitely going backwards in terms of leadership in this country on climate issues, ordinary Americans are already making a difference with just a single home improvement. The proliferation of heat pumps is causing a measurable reduction in air pollution. And so folks are doing their part, although I would hasten to add, you know, leadership from up high, like from what the Biden administration has done to put forward tax credits for things like heat pumps, certainly helped. In the second hour, there has never been a more critical time for supporters of local public schools to either run for a seat on your local school board or help someone else win election to a school board in April. We're going to talk to someone from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards who literally helped write the book on how to run for school board and the qualities that make up a good school board member. It's Wednesday. We may get our drop in from Melissa Kay at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids as part of today's history lesson at 6:50. We'll talk to Todd Alba at 7:50. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will have the details on that cold forecast an hour from now. And also, less than an hour from now, the keyword for the grown-up gift list text to win contest is coming up as well. So a whole lot of ground to cover today. Thankfully, Greg Bach is here to navigate the ship and keep it all pointed in the right direction before the ship gets icebound by this time tomorrow. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
That sounds like a lot of responsibility.
I know. Well, no, there's really nothing you can do. The ice is coming, like it or not. So we'll just deal.
That's what we've done our entire lives. You know, that's what you do. You put on a warm coat, you put on a warmer coat, you put on some gloves, you maybe throw back a liquid that you think will make you warmer.
But might not. Yeah, but
most likely won't. Worse. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And we work through it. And then before we know it, it's going to be March and the snow will be melting and the days will get longer and we'll be good.
That's what I was talking to Dr. Larley yesterday, I think, and she was just like, we're just counting the days till the solstice. Because then at that point you start going, well, each day it's a little lighter, a little lighter. So we're almost at that point already. We're less than 2 weeks away from that. So, you know, hang in there, folks. That's all we can, really do is weather all of this. It's funny. We go every year. We do this like, we grumble and we gripe. And eventually you get to like my point. You go, I'm getting too old for this. And then you start looking at other destinations. And then you go, no, this is a great place to live. It just has this very cold period that you have to get through every year.
It is a cold place to live, and there's other places to go for moments here. Like we went to California, went to Los Angeles for Christmas 1 year, and that was amazing. I think everyone should do that. I think everyone should get out of town for a holiday and go somewhere warm and just know what that's like. You don't have to do it every year. You don't have to move there, but experience it. And don't let other people like, I can't, my family. Nah, you know, your family can come with it. They can stay home. That's what I say.
There you go.
Either way, I ain't paying for them.
That's right. No, you got to do self-care of some sort. Yes. I know that, you know, back when Sherry and I were much younger and did not really have the means to take vacations, what we did do was, you know, we decided that one winter weekend a year, we would just go to like a bed and breakfast in the area. Now it's still cold, but it's cold, but you're in some cozy romantic spot. You're going to go get a nice dinner, or you're just going to sit by the fireplace and read and just do something different to break up the routine.
Yeah.
Because the winters are long here otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, last year was nice. Last year we did get away kind of with highway robbery when it came to the winter, but yeah, you got to take care of yourself.
Oh yeah, not sorry at all for last winter. Well, we'll take those when we can get them.
Yeah.
You can call or text us your questions, your comments, your winter survival plans for vacation and self-care at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to text your comments or questions as well. You can also put your questions or comments in the comment sections on YouTube and on Facebook, where you can see this fine program. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up there. Christina Laurie puts it together. And one of the stories includes the way that tens of millions of older Americans are about to see an increase in benefits next month, a new cost of living adjustment being added to Social Security payments, a 2.5% raise. The average recipient will see an increase of about $50 a month. The Social Security Administration has started notifying recipients about their new benefit, the adjusted payments to nearly 7.5 million people receiving supplemental security income will begin on December 31st. So you can learn more about that and some more holiday stories, of course, as well in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it again at upnorthnewswi.com. Greg, I bring you glad tidings of the season. If there's one thing that we've all been waiting for this part of December, it is to know that the Milwaukee Bucks are going back to the Final Four of the NBA's in-season tournament. It's
you mean the cup?
The cup.
The cup.
There it is. Yep. It's a beautiful thing. The Bucks are the only team from last year's Final Four in the NBA in-season tournament to be back in the Final Four this year. That's as trivial a sports stat as I'm ever going to share on a program like this. Giannis put in 37 points last night. Damian Lillard scored 9 points in the final minute as the Bucks beat the Orlando Magic 114-109. The Bucks now travel to Vegas for the Emirates Cup semifinals and possibly the finals. The semifinal match is Saturday against the winner of tonight's quarterfinal between the New York Knicks and Atlanta. The tournament final would be next Tuesday night?
I mean, Tuesday is when you're gonna have Tuesday, a fight for
as basketball, baby.
As Tony puts it, for the illustrious and storied cup.
Until we find better music, my mode, I'm letting you know, and I'm letting everyone at Civic Media know, that I'm just gonna press 9 to 10 buttons on my cartwheel machine of pure chaos, because that's how dumb I think the cup is.
And the NBA knows. We're talking more about the NBA by mocking their cup than we would be otherwise. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of got a P.T. Barnum thing.
They won.
Isn't there such a thing as bad publicity? Not if we're talking about you. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team, 10 days ago, the Badger men were 8-0, getting set to start the marquee part of the schedule. Now the Badgers have a 3-game losing streak going and are 8-3. After dropping games to Michigan, to Marquette, and then last night to 19th-ranked Illinois, 86-80, the Badger men's basketball team will next play Saturday in Indianapolis against Butler. You'll be able to hear that game Saturday on Civic Media stations around the state and on the Civic Media app. The Badger women's basketball team is in Indianapolis tonight to take on Butler. So that's a little bit of sports for you at 6:16. Checking some of the headlines here, let's start by mentioning more legal trouble for a couple of Trump attorneys with ties to Wisconsin. And I can see where folks would say, well, wait, why are we talking about this? Trump won the election. He's going to pardon everybody. He's going to pardon himself. Yeah, but pardons don't extend to state courts and state criminal charges. And Josh Call's Wisconsin Department of Justice has been on the hot seat for the past nearly 4 years here. But yesterday, the state DOJ filed 10 additional felony charges against two attorneys and an aide to Trump. They include Jim Troupas, who was Trump's attorney in Wisconsin, and Kenneth Chesbro, an attorney who advised the campaign. They all had been facing a single felony forgery charge in Wisconsin, but yesterday they were each charged with 10 additional felony forgery charges in what's called an attempt to defraud each of the 10 Republican electors who cast their ballots for Trump back in 2020. These two, Troupas and Cheeseborough, along with an aide to Trump, they're all slated to make a court appearance tomorrow. So we'll have some more details on that coming up in just a bit here. And we'll also talk about whether Speaker Robin Voss of the Assembly and Republicans are talking about a real issue when they're talking about state workers and requiring them to come back into the office, or if this is just some more partisan posturing, the likes of which they exceed in and excel in Madison. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We're live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll continue with Up North News Radio right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
We marked the other day the anniversary of the Charlie Brown Christmas special airing starting in 1965, but we were rather heavy for bumper music that day on other matters, so we're going to do a lot of Vince Guaraldi today to help usher in the holiday season. On this Wednesday, December 11th, it's just about 6:22 here on Up North News Radio. Coming up across Civic Media today, for stations that get the Earl Ingram Show at 8 a.m., you'll be able to hear from Paul Schwartz, co-founder of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Robert Miranda from the Fresh Water for Life Action Committee. Earl is joined in the 9 o'clock hour by Robert Craig, the executive director of Citizen Action. Maggie Dawn will be talking to somebody from Emily's List coming up this afternoon. And on the Dom Salvia show, Matt Rothschild will be a co-host. There's also this program at 10 a.m. Called Matinair on Air, I believe it's called. Greg Bach, is it, will co-host that show. And we'll be hearing at 10:30. Look at this. You guys are doctor loaded today.
Yeah, we are. We got doctors.
We got doctors. Let's see. They got Dr. Lyerly at 10:30 and Dr. Laura Hanks with public service announcement coming up at 11:30.
You darn tootin'.
I feel so much healthier just knowing that the doctors are in.
The doctors are in. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing here.
That's okay. We'll just pass it along to Tony from Ashland, who writes, I always like Earl's conversations about lead in water. Very good segments on Wednesdays. I have said for the longest time that, and this is not a knock necessarily on Democrats or progressives, but I think we could be doing and saying much more about water and the threats to water, because there's so much more than people know. It's not just PFAS, you know, which frankly is kind of a rather new thing. There's the high capacity wells from mega farms. Of course, there's, you know, farm runoff. There's industrial pollution that's out there. Of course, a changing climate. And every one of those things, you know, could be addressed in some way, shape, or form. But I feel like we don't talk about the threats to our clean water nearly enough. I mean, just yesterday we talked about outdoor recreation and how vital it is to the economy. And so without us being known for clean water, that starts to go away. So I'm glad Earl brings it up as often as he does.
I am too, honestly, Pat, because the thing is, before, honestly, and I feel, I don't want to say I'm ashamed of it, but like I'm embarrassed by it. You know, when you thought of non-drinkable water, undrinkable water, non-clean drinking for people, you always think of Flint, Michigan. You'd never, I bet you if you asked many Wisconsinites, they would never think we were one of the states that had non-drinkable water.
I was going to say, of all the things I just mentioned, I neglected to mention that there's still far too many lead pipes in Wisconsin that carry it as well. Tony writes, the surprise about lead was it's a big issue in rural areas. I thought it was a big city issue. No, yeah. It's not. It's all over, and it's great to have Earl and others calling attention to it. So again, tune in for that coming up next. On Civic Media, on many of these fine stations. So before the break, I was mentioning again that there are even more felony charges at the state level filed against Kenneth Chesbrough and Ken Troupas about the way that they helped with the, Jim Troupas, I should say, with the fake elector scheme. And a very interesting twist in it that these two attorneys are charged with trying to defraud the 10 Republican electors, because in other states, it's the fake electors who face the potential for criminal charges. So it's definitely a different approach than I think we've seen in any other state. And again, Trump becoming president and pardoning these folks doesn't extend to the state courts. So this may yet play itself out during the next Trump administration, of hearing the things that he did to try to steal the 2020 election. The whole time, of course, that he was trying to steal the election, he was accusing the Biden campaign of trying to steal the election, and then just kept lying for 4 years, and enough people still believe it that he was able to win again this time around. But at least at the state level, the work to seek justice goes on. But Trump is coming back into office. He's already starting to make all kinds of appointments. So as we head over to the Trump transition circus to see what's new there, we find California billionaire Tom Barrack has been named as Trump's ambassador to Turkey. You don't know California billionaire Tom Barrack, but 2 years ago, he was on trial for using his access to Trump during his last administration to secretly promote the interests of a foreign government, the United Arab Emirates. You know, basically he was kind of like spying, acting as a foreign agent. As that was going on, he was leveraging his back-channel connections to get the UAE to funnel tens of millions of dollars into his own personal funds and projects. Now, a jury did find him not guilty after 3 days of deliberations, but it's also worth noting that Barrick also raised more than $100 million for Trump's 2017 inauguration, attracting a disturbingly large amount of foreign interest in lobbying Trump through him. Another Trump transition appointee is Andrew Ferguson to the Federal Trade Commission, replacing Lina Khan. Khan has become a lightning rod for Wall Street because of the way that the FTC under her has blocked billions of dollars worth of corporate acquisitions and mergers, and has sued Amazon and Meta, alleging anti-competitive behavior. That's all going to come to a screeching halt on behalf of the consumer when Trump comes back into office by putting Andrew Ferguson up there, saying he has a proven record of standing up to big tech censorship. That's another way of saying big tech censorship is another way of saying they're going to let big tech do whatever they want to you. And if you complain about it, you are blocking big tech's freedom of speech. So just to be clear whose side that they're on. And then the one that really stands out is the appointment of Kimberly Guilfoyle. Yeah, the Fox TV news personality who is or has been engaged to Donald Trump Jr. Rumor is they're now broken up, but Trump still calls her a close friend and ally, and that her sharp intellect from Fox News and as a California prosecutor make her supremely qualified for her new job, which will be America's ambassador to Greece. There's the latest from the Trump transition circus. It is one more to note, the new energy secretary who has ties to big oil and fracking. That's going to be the subject of our conversation when we continue on our climate check with Melissa Baldoff, talking about what's ahead in the Trump transition, but also the difference ordinary Americans are making in doing good things for the climate. We'll be back. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric. Hey, we are back on this Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio. Time for our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. We're going to talk a bit. I'm sure you've heard the words misinformation and disinformation, and they mean different things. We're going to talk a bit about that, but then I promise we're going to end on some good news as well in terms of making progress on a cleaner and greener economy. Melissa Baldoff, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for asking. So let's talk first about misinformation, which is basically just, you know, spreading things that are not true. You didn't bother to verify them. You're passing along rumors. You know, there may not be malicious intent, but, you know, you just have a way that you feel about something and you pass things along. Well, there's an article here about how social media has become a growing vehicle for climate misinformation. And it's less about the stuff that's in social media posts, but it's in those darn comment sections, Melissa, where the comment sections are the Wild West. And this study's finding that, I mean, if you look at the comment sections, and obviously lots of people still do, you know, you really got to go in there with a massive grain of salt for anything that you read, right?
Right. I mean, a boulder of salt. I mean, I think that there are still, unfortunately, a really large number of people out there consuming content online who don't realize that anyone can say anything online. Anyone can say anything on the internet. But then it just, you know, it spreads. It's like, you know, everybody when they were a kid played that game of telephone. And that's, I think, so unfortunately what's happening with a lot of this information is it's spreading like that game of telephone, that people are hearing it and they're sharing it.
Right. And this latest move is it's based on the recent United Nations Climate Summit in Azerbaijan. You had delegates from nearly 200 nations meeting there with good intentions, how best to reduce emissions to slow global warming. But a new report by an international nonprofit, Global Witness, found that misinformation was spreading unchecked on TikTok, primarily through the user comments on videos, claims that things are a hoax or a lie. But it's not just TikTok. You find it on what used to be Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And, you know, it's tough enough when you have leaders talking like this. The comment section is where, again, people need to be extremely careful and definitely not take any one person's comment. Or even if you say, well, gosh, the bulk of these comments are against something. Well, quantity of comments does not equal quality of comments that are in there.
Exactly. It doesn't. But then, you know, it also gets to, I think, just, you know, the nature of a lot of folks to be skeptical, to seek out, you know, different information. And if everyone's saying one thing, but then you've got one person saying something different, are they just looking for that different point of view? And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there really isn't an alternative point of view or an alternative set of facts when it comes to climate change. I would love nothing more for us to all find out that, you know, virtually every scientist has been wrong and actually everything's just fine. There's actually nothing wrong. We've done it all perfectly and the planet's just great forever. But that's just not the case here.
No, you can't say it enough times right. And make it so.
You know,
and so
push it into existence that right. Everything's just fine.
And in doing so, you end up with cases like we saw after Hurricanes Helene and Milton in September and October, which led to all kinds of conspiracy theories in the comment sections. And so many people, you know, lodging complaints with or even threatening, you know, local TV meteorologists. It's just something that is so wild to comprehend. And again, it all starts by people getting themselves all whipped up. Now, that's bad enough when you have just regular folks in the comment sections, you know, like you said, passing along things that just ain't so. It's another thing when it crosses the line from misinformation into disinformation, which is essentially propaganda. It is intentionally people in leadership positions spreading false information to, you know, try to affect public opinion or to, you know, win a political fight, as the case may be. Well, I can think of no better example here than the guy that Trump is picking to lead the Department of Energy, Chris Wright, who is a big oil CEO who has made the argument, like Trump, that climate change could actually be a good thing. I mean, this really does take us into Alice in Wonderland territory if this oil and fracking executive becomes the Secretary of Energy, Melissa.
Right. Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's bad enough that you've got Trump out there saying, you know, well, the rising sea levels might just lead us to more beachfront property. And then now you've got Chris right now, I think, joining the likes of Ron Johnson, I believe, who, if I recall correctly, saying, wouldn't it be nice if it just got a little bit warmer? So, yeah, it's incredibly dangerous when we know that the planet getting warmer is going to cause great harm. You know, he, according to reporting in the Wall Street Journal, is suggesting that a warmer planet is going to increase plant growth and boost agricultural productivity and reduce the number of temperature-related deaths.
None of which are based in anything.
None of that is based in anything.
Talking out you know, an orifice other than his mouth when he says this kind of stuff. And then it gets traction as, you know, the Wall Street Journal and others pass it along. And again, he's about to be in a leadership position where he thinks that a global temperature increase of, you know, 1.5 degrees Celsius, you know, wouldn't be so bad. He thinks it has to be like, you know, 5 to 10 degrees warmer. But again, the people who actually study this stuff, people who know this stuff, know that a global temperature increase of 1.5 degrees Celsius is a tremendous threat to the planet. But I mean, what are you supposed to expect from a guy picked by Trump who, you know, told all those oil company executives, hey, you give me $1 billion, I'll give you whatever you want. This is not a surprise, but it still should be, you know, brought up anyway, so that people understand just who these people are.
Exactly. And I will at least give credit where it's due, that he is acknowledging that burning fossil fuels contributes to rising global temperatures. So he's at least telling the truth there, that what you're doing is increasing the global temperature. He's just not being honest about how bad that is. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, people are going to start to catch on and pay attention to this, that when the global temperature rises, bad things happen. And he's telling you that he's doing the bad thing that makes the bad thing happen. He just doesn't want you to believe that it's going to actually do anything bad. So, you know, these people that Trump surrounds himself with, you know, they're not dishonest about who they are or what they want to do. No. They're quite clear about what their goals are.
Yep. And it's really a matter of, you know, whether Congress just goes along with this and whether there are any ways that folks more at the state and local level can try to mitigate any damage that that the Trump administration might do. Now, one way that folks could mitigate some of what's happening with the climate would be, you know, making sure that they themselves at the consumer level are buying things that are more energy efficient. And there is a new study on electric heat pumps that is out. Electric heat pumps are affordable. They are very energy efficient for both heating and cooling homes. And they're outselling gas furnaces now nationwide. And there's a new report, Melissa, that says the reduction in outdoor pollution that results is, you know, is actually going to save lives. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is, I think, a really, really exciting report to see from Rewiring America. That is a great nonprofit that has come together with Stacey Abrams and a number of other leaders to really help promote electrification and help educate people about the benefits here. And what they've done is calculate if every American household got rid of furnaces and hot water heaters and, you know, dryers and other appliances powered by oil and gas and replace them with heat pumps and electric appliances, what would happen? And what they found out is what would happen to our emissions and how much they would drop, which is dropped by about 400 million metric tons, that air pollutants and the fine airborne particulate matter that we know is so bad for our lungs and other health outcomes, that contributes to asthma and so many bad things, would decrease by 300,000 tons, which is the equivalent of taking 40 million cars off the road.
That's
so
amazing.
Incredible benefits, and would also save a whole heck of a lot of money.
We're talking about shaving $60 billion off of annual electric bills across the country. That's the financial end. And of course, from a health standpoint, you're talking about, preventing more than 3,000. You'd have 3,000 fewer premature deaths per year. more than 1,000 fewer hospital visits, fewer asthma attacks. That delivers tens of billions of dollars in benefits as well. So again, the point being that without some kind of national mandate, without some kind of heavy hand of government, but a lot of encouragement, especially through incentives, you're finding that people are making these good choices in the marketplace and that there are going to be demonstrable benefits. And I want to end with that word demonstrable. There are demonstrable benefits to polluting less as opposed to the claims in the comment section and by the incoming energy secretary that are not demonstrable, that have nothing behind them, that make claims about the climate, but they've got nothing to back them up. And I can't state it any more obvious than that, Melissa. If folks just look at where there's evidence and where there's not, we can make a lot more progress no matter who's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania.
You know, the great news is that there are still resources available under the Inflation Reduction Act for people to take advantage of the rebates available to them to make these upgrades to electric appliances, to do these energy efficient retrofits in their homes. So there is a lot of opportunity still. It's unclear, obviously. We know there's a lot of uncertainty about what Republicans might do with the Inflation Reduction Act. And, you know, we've talked about that in weeks past, but we've also talked about the fact that rank and file Republicans are seeing the great things happening in their state. They might not be so quick to want to, you know, unwind this law the way that Donald Trump wants to. But this money has also been, a lot of these rebate funds have already been allocated to states. So they're in states for them to distribute. So anyone who is listening to this or reading about it, and they're thinking, hey, this is sounding pretty good, they should really look into it. They can check out Focus on Energy here in Wisconsin to find out what they could do if they're interested in seeing what kind of rebates are available to them to electrify any appliances in their home or see what rebates are available for home energy efficiency projects.
They are out there. You just have to do a little bit of homework, save yourself some money, and do some good for the planet as well. Melissa Baldoff, as always, thanks for this week's Climate Check. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
We'll do today's history lesson coming up next on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, we all know that seasonal earworm, don't we? There's Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree. And you'd be hearing a lot about her anyway. She's still out there talking about recording this thing at the age of 16. But today is her birthday. Brenda Lee turns 80 years old today. Happy
wow.
birthday to Brenda Lee. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there was a nice feature about her in the Associated Press I was just looking at, talking about how she barely remembers recording the song. I'm sorry, did I say 16? I was wrong. She was 13.
Yeah.
It was a warm Nashville day, so the producer was putting Christmas decorations around the studio and blasting the air conditioner to create a holiday spirit.
And cold.
Yes, and her celebration of a Christmas party hop is more popular than ever. So happy birthday to Brenda Lee.
Wow.
13. What a voice at 13. Well,
I know.
I think Dynamite, her big, big Brockabilly hit, came out actually even before that when she was like 12. She was,
yes, yeah,
very inappropriate song for a child to be singing.
Well, you know, it was the 50s.
Yeah,
was,
you know,
inappropriate didn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Robin Tigerton says, good morning to Melissa. Melissa Kay is with us here, as always, on Wednesdays from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. How are the holidays going, Ms. Kay?
Oh, they're coming up fast. I don't know how it got here so quickly.
Yeah. It didn't. It's the calendar's got the same number of dates all the time.
Lying to me.
You can hear Melissa do Community Stories with Melissa K Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 on 97.5 WFHR. What you got going on this week with the fine program?
Last night we heard from actually State Vice Commander Ty Leto for the VFW State Vice Commander, State Senior Vice Commander. Sorry, let me get his title right. Spoke with me briefly during the Pearl Harbor Day ceremony that we had at our VFW. And then Rock Larson, Wood County Veterans Service Commissioner or Officer. And then tomorrow, we're going to hear from our theater kids.
You love the theater kids. We love the theater kids. Such spirit. All right. So check that out. Go under civicmedia.us under shows and look for Community Stories with Melissa Kay. On this day in 1961, Motown got its first number one single from the Marvelettes. On this day in 1934, Bill Wilson took his last drink and entered treatment for the final time, and later went on to co-found Alcoholics Anonymous. So a lot of friends of Bill wish Bill Wilson a happy birthday. Did you know the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre back in 1913?
Did they make a movie about that?
Did they? They probably. Well, I mean,
the Da Vinci Code.
No, I wouldn't know if it was based on, you know, it could have been just made up. But yeah, more than 2 years after it was stolen from the Louvre, on this day in 1913, the Mona Lisa was recovered in Florence, Italy. The thief basically was, you know, working in the museum at the time and smuggled it out under a smock or something and just kind of kept it in his room for 2 years. And then eventually tried to find a way to sneak it back and got caught.
And wow. Because at that point, the Mona Lisa wasn't that big of a deal.
No, it was known, but it wasn't like world famous. And this theft, I guess, made it world famous.
Yeah. Launched it into fame.
Yep. So there you go.
Way to go, guy.
Yeah. Let's see. Big Mama Thornton was born this day in 1926. She did the original version of a song that Elvis would later make famous.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Some would say the better version, too.
I would say the better version. Big Mama. Born this day in 1926, passed away in 1984. Happy birthday to Rita Moreno. The Puerto Rican actress known for West Side Story is 93 years old
Dang,
today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I made a mistake in yesterday's history lesson saying that yesterday was John Kerry's birthday. It's actually today. He's 81 years old. David Gates of Bread, one of Greg Bach's favorite metal bands of the 70s, is 84 years old today.
Bread.
This is so metal.
This is so... just.
I was telling Pat
before feel the wall shake.
I was telling Pat before the show when I was a young, super long hair, just full of nothing but causeless suburban anger. I would just be like, "Bread, what a stupid name for a band!" And then you hit somewhere where Steely Dan starts making sense, and you're like, "It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good, man. Yeah, kind of like it." Let's see. We've got if you want to talk metal, Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue is 66 years old today.
Oh, man, that guy.
Yep. Nikki, born Frank Carlton Serafino Ferrana Jr.
Hey.
Decided Nikki Sixx was a better way to go. Jermaine Jackson of the famous Jackson family is 70 years old today.
This song slaps.
One of those quintessential 80s songs, but one that didn't get as much traction as you might have thought.
No.
You know, in hindsight.
When I was recording this song, I'm like, this sounds like Stevie Wonder wrote this song. And then like halfway through, it's like, oh, Stevie Wonder's on this song. Cool. All right.
Yep. Go figure. Roy Wood Jr. is 46 today. Terry Garr, who recently passed away at the age of 79, was born 80 years ago today. Let's see. This is National UNICEF Day for the United Nations Children's Fund. This is National App Day. So happy day to all those apps.
Because they need their own day.
Shall we say, happy birthday? Greg, I thought you'd be there for sure. And finally, it is National, oh, please. This is National Ring Noodle Day, which what? I love. They talked about all the ways that you can have pasta rings, you know, because pasta comes in all these different shapes. But the photo.
SpaghettiOs.
that's your ring noodle celebration for today. again, Melissa Kay, you can hear community stories and much more on 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. Melissa, have a great day. Thanks for the visit.
You too, guys.
All right. We'll be back with the second hour of Up North News Radio after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.